power of our diplomacy. Diplomacy.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a really big deal.
The strength of our diplomacy.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
It does sound fun.
Six, five, four, I want to play this game so bad.
One. Deadline.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Episode 23 already.
I know. Can you believe it? I know. We're screaming through 2013.
We are on the ball.
Back in the saddle.
We're screaming through 2013 so much that it's just down to 23.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even need those middle numbers. That's how fast we are.
Don't even need them.
Super efficient. In today's episode of Diplomacy Cast, which this is.
This is what you're listening to.
In today's episode of Diplomacy Cast, we're going to do a tournament recap of Compton Con.
Compton Con that we went to a couple weeks ago.
Yep. We're going to talk about some openings that are sort of unusual.
Back to strategy, which
maybe is good. You can use a little in our Power Play segment. And then just a whole ton of reader emails, listener emails, whatever you call yourselves, readers, listeners.
Yeah. No guest interview, but
no interview today.
We're interviewing the emails.
Yeah,
let's go with that.
Sure. I mean, are you really going to complain? I mean, we're doing two episodes in like a week and a half, and you're complaining because we have no guests. Come on, people. We're awesome. If you have any questions, any feedback, send it to us at press@diplomacycast.com. But hurry with that. We have an announcement at the end of the show.
That's true.
About that.
That is true.
But for now, you can get us at press@diplomacycast.com. You can find us at facebook.com/diplomacycast.
That's true.
And subscribe to us on iTunes.
Do it.
That's really cool.
All right.
Back after this.
Bye.
Boom. Yeah. Well, Compton Con, we didn't talk about it much on the show before.
No, we were paying tribute.
Yeah, well, we didn't really get around to it in the last episode for obvious reasons, but we both traveled down south, L.A. area.
I like when you say down south, it makes it sound like we went to Alabama. We stayed on the same coast.
Not in the deep south, not in the Confederate south or anything. We just went to the south.
Yeah, and we went, okay, yes, the plane did fly south.
Where we are.
Yeah, it's true.
Fine. Which is fine. Pretty much anywhere you'd go for a tournament.
All right.
Other than Alaska Con, which I just made up. Would be down south.
Sure. All right. Fair. All right. So we flew down to LA. And this is actually my first time with the LA group. Which is weird because we've San Francisco many times, but the LA group, never really worked out.
But they're apparently getting organized down there. Yeah. Got a lot of, firepower, I guess you could say. Yeah. All of a sudden. They really pulled it together. They threw a, pretty good tournament.
It wasn't a huge tournament, but we wanted to support them.
Venue,
it was a little hard to get to.
It's fine. It was very inexpensive, which was nice.
True.
The food was, there was food.
There was food. Whatever.
It was fine. We you could get stuff.
I think they're still trying to get their stuff together.
Yeah, no. But never mind. I mean, the point was there was some really great competition there.
Right.
A couple of really great boards.
Yeah. Good people.
The scoring system was a little controversial.
It was a lot controversial, actually.
Yeah,
I would say.
I guess we should probably talk about it because, I mean, it's all anybody was talking about.
Right. So
for part of the tournament, anyway,
as we've talked about in the show before, there's a lot of ways to do a draw system. Yeah. You could do, you could just do draws like 3-way, 4-way. You could do, center counts. You could do,
or sum of squares.
Sum of squares.
We did a whole episode on it. If you guys want to check back with Matt Shields and everything,
yeah,
who was also there this weekend, and,
which was nice.
I had some opinions about the scoring system as well, but
this one though. Essentially, it was scored based on the number of centers you had in 1901.
Yeah. So the outcome of the game.
Let's clarify. It's not the end of 1901. It's spring 1901.
Spring 1901. Yeah. The amount of centers you started with was the main factor, which is, I don't know. It's a little different. I see what they were going for.
There were some tiebreakers in there. I guess some magic.
Yeah, I never really understood the tiebreakers, but I mean, a lot of people thought, and I kind of understand this, a lot of people thought that it favored Russia too much because Russia starts with four. Right.
Well, I mean, it is fair the people that played Russia more than once did eventually win the tournament.
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, maybe they weren't thinking about that when they were doing the scoring system, or maybe they didn't think it was going to be that big a deal, but, whatever. I mean, so the amount of centers you have at the beginning of O1. It's as good as anything.
But this is the thing, and we talk about this all the time. Yeah. You just have to play the system at the tournament. You know, you just adjust your style of play to take advantage of that.
Exactly. And so I was really trying to emphasize drawing Russia while I was there.
Doing the same, but I didn't pull it together. No, I was having an off weekend.
Me either. But so we did have some interesting boards along the way that we wanted to talk about.
It was four rounds, which was pretty impressive.
Four rounds. Let's see. God, I'm trying to remember. I can't even remember now.
This happens to us every time. I know I played with you once, at least.
At least one? No, more than one. Well, okay. Oh, board one. That's right.
Right.
Board one. I was England, you were France.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah. No, I remember. I opened the channel.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. I don't know why I didn't bounce you. I'm thinking, you told me you weren't going to go.
But it actually worked out.
It was fine. We actually worked together
the whole game.
The whole game.
I mean, we fought half the time, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. After you opened to the channel, though, I mean, I felt like I had to do something, so I got with Germany, who was Dave Maletsky, was my ally in that game, and me and Dave, we were fighting you for a while, but we couldn't outmaneuver you, and eventually you talked me into it. I turned around and I stabbed Dave.
Right,
is what happened.
And the weirdest thing about that is that you guessed right.
Yeah, pretty much every time Dave went from 6-2-0.
Right,
I think it was after I turned around on
unbelievable,
which was great for me. Yeah. I mean, because nothing like that had ever happened, and you really helped out a lot.
Yeah.
And we did good, and then
helped the whole East, and you know, they were just. There was just a rodeo over there.
Yeah, the East was a mess. There's just a lot of... I mean, there was a couple of really, really new players in the East, and then...
And I guess the frustrating thing is, by the end of it, I mean, we kind of rolled the board. We ended up with a two-way, but I think Russia...
17.
Yeah, Russia still won. Russia still topped the board.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
It's too bad, because that was a pretty good alliance, and we were...
Weirdly,
17-17, I don't know.
We were kind of forced into it, though, because everybody's like, oh, Nathan and Eric, they're going to do this thing. And
we had to work together.
After a certain point, it's like, well, if you're going to force us, I guess we have to.
Yeah. I don't know. It was fun, though. I felt like we worked really well together. Yeah. It's just a shame we didn't, you know, get more points for it or anything, but...
I guess we go big goose eggs.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Board 2. Saturday morning.
Right. I remember Friday night was crazy.
Yeah.
Because,
do you want to talk about Friday night? We can talk about Friday night.
I'm always a little curious. I mean, I don't know if we've come up with a protocol for this, because I don't really like talking about all the embarrassing things that people do. I don't want to name names.
No, it's fine. We did before. I guess we didn't name names about the guy that fell out of the chair at WAC. We can just leave that one be.
Yeah, we can leave that one.
Yeah.
And just so
it was Eddie Bersant. All right, it wasn't really Eddie Bersant. It was Eddie Bersant.
I love the idea of that, though. That would be really funny. No, so we went out Friday. There were a lot of bars around, but they were more divey type bars.
Yeah.
And
it was kind of a, I don't know, it was kind of an interesting neighborhood.
Yeah, it was we stuck out a little, I would say.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. It was actually not even really a bar. There weren't any bars there. It was just a mini mart,
more like
kind
that.
Of. And you just bought whatever you wanted, and you could just drink it on the street. Which is,
but everybody
it's different. Yeah,
but it wasn't just us.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I don't know. It was kind of fun.
We were like, "Are we gonna go sing karaoke?" And people were like
"What the hell's karaoke?
You can just sing karaoke right here."
Yeah, I think that guy was a wino, though. I don't think that guy knew what he was talking about. It wasn't like he ran the street corner.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. So it won't be named, but one person decided they were just going to challenge me to a drinking contest, which was, you know, really. It's not like a talent I have that I'm particularly like,
but
it's also kind of silly.
I mean, people know that.
Right. And obviously the secret of that is I drink gin and tonics, right? I can't drink anything else. I'm, you know, a mess.
Right.
But it was messy.
Yeah.
There, you know, he ended up, I think he was making out with some girl and kind of threw up like at her. She threw up.
Yeah. It looked like he threw up, but it was actually that she just...
I think I was laughing too damn hard.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty funny.
It was really funny.
But
we were out till like 4 in the morning.
Yeah, and...
On a street corner, more or less. I mean, there was like a tarp.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's fun. We could say it's okay. It's Conrad. It's we won't mind.
Okay, I don't think he'll mind.
And he went to jail.
Well, we got him out.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, they did. The bail was not high. The bail bondsman was right there.
Yeah, it was fine.
He was there for his Saturday morning round. So Conrad Woodering, we'll be there at the trial. We're rooting for
him. Right. Yeah, cheers, man. That's gonna be. It's good.
And so,
this is the kind of fun that you can have. You come to DePaul's tournaments.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you know, you don't have to if you're
There were plenty of people that didn't go out.
Wake up, you'll do better on the Saturday morning.
Exactly, than we did. Got another set of goose eggs.
God, I know. So let me think. We get up Saturday morning. God, I was so tired.
Yeah.
I was Austria.
Wasn't I Italy?
Oh, you were on that board too?
Yeah, no, I was. No, yeah. And I opened to, you know, Tyrolia.
Did the Kilo Panto.
Did we do the Kilo Panto? Oh, yes. Right. Exactly.
That's right. That's
I thought
right.
I did the whole
we
Tyrolia
like,
thing.
You know what? We worked so well together. And probably we're not going to win this one anyway because we're not Russia.
Right.
Yeah. And so we were like, let's. Screw it. Let's try Kilo Panto.
Well, know, and the idea was.
Fun for the show.
The idea. Well, exactly. And the idea was to try and get at Rush as quickly as possible, take him down.
Yeah.
Minimize his points he's going to get.
Early advantage.
Right.
But. Nah.
We did all right.
I don't think we really understood the scoring system at that point.
Well, no, because...
To be honest, like, we thought we could maybe take him down, but it turns out we couldn't because he started with four.
I mean, and they just ended up voting us, a two-way, but it didn't matter because Russia had already won.
9-8. And everyone was like...
They're just... everyone... Half the board because Conrad was on that board.
Right.
He was England.
Right. And he couldn't even write his orders, man.
But it didn't matter. He just, like went over there. He just had a blockade and was like, meh.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly.
Didn't care. Yeah. Oh, well. And who was Russia on that board?
Jeff Warnicki.
Yeah.
Of all people. We're saving the best to last.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I sat out the third round.
As I recall, he actually did get taken down pretty early.
He
got eliminated by about 0-3. But,
yeah, he got all pouty about
it. Yeah, exactly. He was like...
He still topped the board.
Quitting the hobby for 5 years or whatever. Whatever. I don't think he understood it either. Cause topped the board.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what he's mad about. I skipped the third round because I was not feeling it. And it was... You know, and I probably should have because I might have drawn.
Played. I was Turkey. Andy Bartoloni was on that board. Guy Micah.
Oh yeah.
I soloed.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't matter.
Didn't matter. Well, because you didn't draw Russia.
Right.
Who was Russia?
Exactly. It was. Andrew Newman.
Andrew Newman. Oh, that's right.
Russia.
That's right. He played
in second for the tournament.
Right.
Remember?
But he only played that one round.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that guy in years.
Tied for second for a lot of people. But yeah, no, I know it's weird. I guess he was just in LA.
Right.
He's a surfer now or something. And
that's
just
so weird.
I don't know, but he was Russia.
Because I didn't talk to him.
He got really mad about something on that board.
I'm sure he got really mad about something. I remember why I didn't play the third round now.
Yeah.
It's because Eddie had decided over the lunch break that he was going to introduce some new people to the hobby. Do you remember this?
Oh, my God.
And I totally had to just deal with this mess he made.
Yeah. And mind you, Nathan was not in any kind of tournament directing capacity.
Oh, no, yeah, no.
It's
I
just the kind of guy he is that, like, once this came up, he, like, kind of had to step in.
I was just trying to mediate.
And me, I was playing. I mean, I had, you know.
So Eddie just decides.
Solo, but.
He just decides he's going to get these guys that are just hanging out on the street outside. Yeah. It's going to get them, you know, we were short a few people or something.
Right, it started with, we had, what was it, like 25 or something,
or something
which is
like
totally annoying because it's like right between three boards and four boards.
Right.
We had 25 and Eddie's like, what do you need? Oh, okay, you need three people, four people?
He was outside for 5 minutes. He brings in these people.
This is what he does. I don't know if people know this about Eddie, but he'll just go out and find a new diplomacy player, teach him to play on the spot.
Except these guys, I don't know what their angle was. They don't seem like they were board gamers. They picked up the game really quick.
No, they were not board gamers.
No.
No, they were...
I was going to go with criminals, is what I was going to say.
I mean, yeah, they were...
Well, I don't know.
They were some kind of...
We just go with hoodlums.
Well, I don't know. They were just, like, whatever.
Just a couple of kids off the street.
They probably have different backgrounds than you and I, but what are we going to say about that? Point is, I think maybe Eddie could have...
They weren't street people, but they certainly weren't.
No, I'm not saying they were street people. I'm just saying, God, they were, I don't know. One of them was smoking crack.
Really?
Yeah, like, while he was playing, like while somebody was trying to negotiate with him, he was actually smoking a little bit of crack. And
do people still do that?
Yeah, this guy did. I don't know. Maybe
I think it was probably
someone
crystal.
Should tell him it was. Could have been meth. Could have been meth. I'm not ruling out meth. I thought it was crack, to be honest. Actually, if you were there, could you send us an email? Let us know if it was crank. No, I'm just kidding. Go on.
I don't think that guy's gonna email us.
No, not that guy. I just mean anybody else that
that might have known
crank with him or whatever.
You know those diplomacy kids, those hardcore diplomacy kids.
Yeah, like, well, I don't know. Like Adam Siegel might have.
Yeah, Adam Siegel might have. That's totally true. So, I can see that.
Whatever.
All right. So no, where was I at? It's a short story because they were only there for a little while. They started a board and just their tactics were a little, I mean, I guess their negotiation style was a little harsh.
Yeah, it was,
that whole board just imploded.
I'm not really going to blame those guys because Eddie kind of told them, like, you guys can do whatever you want to try and get other people to do what you want them to do on the board. And so...
Well, more or less, they just intimidated the hell out of people.
Well, they were armed.
They weren't armed! No one. They weren't like packing.
One of those guys was absolutely packing. I saw him flash a pistol at Evan Perlman, and he was like,
"Wow,
move to Belgium." No, that seriously happened. And I mean, like the.
I love that you just kept playing your game. You're like, oh yeah, it happened.
I was on 14 or something at the time. Seriously, I was like way over the line. I was in like Spain, and all I had to do was stab Russia. Not that it mattered, but all I had to do was stab Andrew Newman, and I was going to solo that game. But I was a little busy for getting involved. I kind of thought somebody else might have.
I eventually ushered them out. I didn't know they were. I mean, I.
Oh,
they're fine guys.
I shoot them out.
Well, I just... Well, yeah, because we just quit the game.
Lucky, well, right.
And all I did was talk to them for a little while. I hung out with them for a little while. They were cool.
Yeah,
it was fine.
Kind of no, I know.
And then we went outside and, you know.
Well, so...
It was fine.
The issue was...
But I didn't... They never flashed any pistol to me.
No, well, no. That's because you probably would have gone to Belgium. But the point is... The whole thing got kind of weird the next day because they'd actually taken all of the board's trophies and prizes, and so we kind of felt like we couldn't play round four.
Yeah,
And so we didn't.
Yeah,
and we just went to brunch instead.
It was
fine. And we just counted up. We counted up the dots basically. You know,
from the first three rounds,
the scores from the first three rounds, and Jeff Dornicky had won.
Yeah, Jeff Dornicky had won
on another board.
Yeah,
too,
twice. He did those two. Yeah.
So congratulations, Jeff.
Yeah, it was good.
Well played.
He hasn't played. What's amazing is the first tournament he's played in years. He came back and won.
I know nobody's seen him. It's weird, but it's cool for him. I don't know.
Yeah.
He deserved it. It was a pretty fun tournament.
Yeah, I think everybody should try it out.
I mean, would never go again.
Really?
But
I had a good time.
I mean, maybe I'd go again. I don't know.
They were good guys.
It was really expensive.
It was no. Wait, what? What did you pay for?
My wallet.
Oh,
I didn't have my wallet when I got back after Saturday night. I didn't have my wallet.
Wow.
Yeah. So I ended up having to get a new ID and new credit cards and everything. And
okay. Well, I mean, so, that's a one-off experience, man.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. Maybe if like they had a different spot for it, but then it kind of wouldn't be Compton Con.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
Missing the whole like theme of the whole thing. So I don't know. Maybe I'd go again. I don't know.
Well, I'm wishing a lot of luck. I will try and go again next year. I thought it was pretty. It was an easy flight down.
Yeah, it was.
If they run the same scoring system, though, might not do
it
again.
That's the other thing. Yeah, it's.
But it was good to see. There was just a lot of. I mean, it's a.
It really changed the play style.
Yeah,
it really.
Absolutely, I mean, games were fun.
Yeah,
and weird, chaotic.
You didn't really. I don't know.
And I think it's because it's LA. The flights are cheaper. So a lot of people came from all over the place. I haven't seen some of these guys in forever.
That's true.
And I guess. You know, the local hobby was only like six guys, and we ended up with like three boards of travelers.
Yeah, and there was only like four of those guys by the end of it.
I'm not really
sure what happened to those other two dudes.
Yeah, I think they just got tired or something.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Anyway.
Next time I think maybe they should do something like whoever starts with the most centers called Trieste might be
an interesting
variant
twist.
On the thing. I don't know, something like that. Yeah. Like they're on to something, but it
maybe whoever does the most hold orders in spring 1901.
Ooh, that's good too.
Yeah,
that's good too.
Something interesting like
probably,
that.
It might favor Italy, but
it might favor Italy.
I guess you're probably fine with that, right?
Love Italy. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. So yeah. Okay.
All right. Well,
enough of that.
We're done with that. We're gonna move on. Do some power plays.
Power plays.
Power plays.
Power plays.
Power plays.
All right, so in this section, we just wanted to talk about some openings that we've been kind of...
We haven't done openings in a long time.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I know we've done kind of some of this stuff before, but I just want to, you know, maybe readdress and kind of maybe open up some new one. Open up.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
very clever, me. I just wanted to kind of maybe talk about some new openings that are a little different from ones that you guys have maybe even heard of necessarily or whatever, but they're...
These are things that we've seen around, but really, I think, fairly uncommon.
Yeah, yeah. We went through basically and cut it down. Like, we had a big list of ones we wanted to talk about, and we decided in the interest of time we should just cut it down to, like, our absolute favorite, like, here's an opening you guys might not have heard of that you really might want to consider next time you play this country. So we did one for each country, is my point.
And some of these I actually... is interesting because there's some of these that I've only seen and some that Eric has only seen.
Right.
Because, I mean, how many years have we been doing this together? It's 20-something?
22, 23 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
23 years.
And I would think...
One episode a year? That's what we do, right?
No, I meant collectively how many years have we been playing Diplomacy.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Is a podcast really seem that long to you? It seems like 22 years we were doing this. No.
This episode seems long to you.
But I think it's significant that you don't see these that often, and there's like we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
There's an advantage to surprise. There's an advantage to doing things that people aren't expecting. And
I mean,
shaking that up.
Like we always say, you kind of got to know your neighbors. To
of course.
Try to, like, you know, if you're playing with a bunch of strangers, then you're all Munich to Ruhr, Kiel to Denmark, Berlin to Kiel kind of openings are like probably the thing. Like if you're somewhere new, do your diplomacy, do your best to guess them. But this is like, these are those openings for like, if you really know someone, if you really feel like this is going to be the right play, like you talk to France, you get a hunch, you talk to Germany, you get a hunch, you talk to try something a little different.
These are just tools for your toolbox. So one per country. We're just going to describe the opening and then some advantages to it.
Where do you want to start? How do you want to do this?
Do you just want to go in order? We can go in alphabetical order.
Oh, okay. Let's go alphabetical.
I think Austria was yours.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about this one, actually. This is something we talked actually a little bit about in the last episode, which is actually what gave us the idea for this segment.
True.
It's the beleaguered hedgehog.
Right.
Is what I've seen it called before.
Right.
And what you do is you go Venice to Trieste, Budapest supports Venice to Trieste, and then Trieste holds.
Right.
Right? So what you're doing is you're beleaguering your fleet in Trieste.
Right.
This makes it so that you could move Trieste to, say, Venice.
Yeah.
And at worst, it bounces. Like, if it makes it, great.
Yeah.
But
perfect.
At worst, it bounces, and you're still totally secure in your Austrian homeland.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
So...
It really defends against that sort of squirrely Italian that you're not sure about.
Yeah.
You don't want to do anything too aggressive.
Right.
But you definitely don't trust him enough.
And it absolutely communicates to both the Russian and the Turk that you've got no designs on the Balkans whatsoever, which is important.
Right.
Because, I'm sorry, my cat in the background. I don't think she likes that opening. She must have tried it once, but... So
you've tried this before, right?
I did it once. Did it once. Maybe twice. Yeah, maybe even three times. I don't know. I remember doing it in an online game once.
Okay.
Because
I've never
done it. Actually didn't go very well. Because Russia and Turkey made an alliance, and there was just all this stuff going on in the Balkans. They ended up taking all the Balkans. I don't think I ever built that game, to be honest.
Really?
It was just, I don't know. I misevaluated everything. I thought that Russia and Turkey really wanted to just see me not do anything too aggressive. It turns out I was wrong, and they were kind of plotting together all along. I did a tournament once I ended up working with the Italian, and that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was pretty good for a while, but I communicated to the Italian with that opening, like, look, you're not getting Trieste in the spring of
right, right.
You know, and I don't know. I think he got the message, and he worked with me for a while. He did eventually stab me in that game, but I did pretty good for a while. I guess I can't say that I've used it to any great effect, but I could certainly see a situation.
Yeah, there are situations. No, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like I said, you could throw people off with it.
Right.
It's not expected.
Right.
You're definitely communicating a firm message when you do that.
Man. Yeah, it's really good for building an early alliance with France, which is something that a lot of people don't see about that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
All right, let's move on.
All right, so let's see. England, right? My alphabet hasn't fallen apart,
sure.
Right? And I think this just happens to be my favorite, and it's pretty common. This is probably the one that the most people would have heard of.
Yeah.
It's called the Yorkshire pudding.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
And I know you're familiar with it. I've seen this done.
We've even talked about that one on the show a little bit, yeah.
Right, right. And so, more or less, I mean, to put it simply, in spring 1901, England orders all of its units to Yorkshire.
Okay, so that's London to Yorkshire, Liverpool to Yorkshire, and then Edinburgh to Yorkshire.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And so what you have here is a situation where all three units collide and bounce.
Right.
Ricochet back to their home centers.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So that when you start fall 1901, it's as if nothing has happened.
Right.
And so with this, you communicate a lot of things.
Yeah.
One, you're telling Russia, I'm not coming after Norway. You don't have to worry about me getting anything up there in Norway.
Sure, which is great because, Russia's usually, really tense about the North stuff, and he doesn't want England to get Norway. That's, the last thing he wants.
Exactly, no. So you're telling France, don't worry about the channel.
Right.
And you're reassuring Germany that he is going to have the ability to do what he wants to do in the lowlands.
Yeah.
So you make a lot of friends.
It's an alliance move.
Right.
It's sort of like you're setting up for a real long-term alliance
But the beauty of it is, in the fall, you really can go any way you want.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
So you could just pick which one of those you want, and you've just laid the foundation.
So you've sort of set everyone at ease in the spring of 01, and then in the fall of 01, you just kind of sting. Bam!
And
you
so,
didn't see this coming.
And you can turn on
You're
just
like,
about
I'm in the North Sea, the Norwegian Sea, and Yorkshire.
Right.
And they're like, whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's really good. It's sort of a delayed, what's he going to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's especially good if you're not really sure who you want to work with, but you know you want to work with somebody.
Now, it does have one downside that occurs to me, which is why, it's not a more popular opening. It's people do it, but it's not a super popular opening.
Right.
The one downside, I guess, is that you can't actually build.
Yeah, but you're investing. But you're really investing.
Well, so you're sort of investing. Right. Okay. So you're saying you're giving up dots for position.
Right.
Basically. Okay.
And an alliance. Like you're building that relationship with your chosen person.
That's true.
So I mean, it costs you a dot, but there are
sometimes
times,
but even so, I mean,
for the position and for that relationship,
I mean,
it's really worth it long term.
France, Germany, and Russia don't trust you at the end of that, then, and then you can just pick which one you want to attack.
Right, exactly.
Basically, yeah.
That's good. So, consider it Yorkshire pudding. It's a move. It's a thing.
Not bad in some circumstances. Okay, the France one, I think, is kind of similar to that. We're on F.
Should have written this down. We can't do the alphabet anymore.
The France one is
it's more of a barrier, sort of a you build a wall thing.
Yeah, yeah. So you go. Let's see. What do we call this one? The Western Front.
Right.
I've seen it called. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, we had this written down.
Sorry. I have the wrong screen up. At least my email noise hasn't come in yet. All right.
I don't know if we got your cat instead.
Yeah, right.
No, Western Front.
I probably do have mail. Okay, so this one is Brest to Picardy. Okay, so that's the fleet in Brest.
Right.
Picardy. Paris to Burgundy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marseille to Piedmont.
Right.
So it's it's kind of, it's almost like a gambit. It's not, I take it back. It's not really similar to the Yorkshire pudding at all. I don't know what I'm talking about, man. This is like the opposite of that because this is like all out offense.
Right.
This is not.
But it's interesting though because it's an offensive defense because you're really just building a wall from Picardy all the way down to Piedmont.
True. And you can kind of consider Switzerland to be kind of like part of your wall.
You're
like
utilizing that aspect of the
natural
board.
Yeah. But you're also, I mean, obviously you're not interested in Iberia if you're doing this, which is fine.
No, you're saving that for later.
You have to be. Unless, of course, you bounce in Piedmont. But
yeah, unlikely.
Not going to happen. I mean, you really want to do this at a time when you know you're going to get to Piedmont.
Yeah, because it's not very effective if you can't build the wall.
Right. Exactly. Because you want that wall, the virtual wall, we'll call it, to just really just go Piedmont, Switzerland, Burgundy, Picardy. Right?
Right. Then the Western Front, as that's why the, you know, it gets that name.
Yeah. It's like you're starting World War I like 17 years earlier.
Right.
You're just like, whatever.
Let's not bring actual history into it.
Try it.
So what this does, it makes people mostly not worry that you're going to explode because France can sometimes do that.
Yeah.
You're making sure that any sort of twitchiness from the Italians or from the Germans under wraps.
I think it's better than that because, not to cut you off.
But, no, go on.
But I actually think that you're actually declaring war on Italy early.
Okay.
Which is interesting, you know, which is good, right? To just have one army that's just going for it. You know, like just to let the whole board know.
Yeah.
I'm France and I'm at war with Italy and Germany.
Yeah.
And
like you said, that's the offensive part of it.
That's what's good about it is, I mean, like, look, I've got this wall, but there's more to it. There's like an offense to it, too.
Yeah.
Like, look, I've got the wall, but also I'm attacking everybody except England.
Except England.
You're not really attacking England.
Well, but you have leverage on Belgium if you want it.
Yeah, you can support him into Belgium, which is probably what you should do.
Right.
If all three of your moves succeed, is you should probably get the English army down.
Yeah,
there.
you want to put that English army into Belgium.
In a hurry.
Yeah, because that way,
that's nasty, man.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get that set
sort
up.
Sort of, you can think of it as expansion of your wall.
Yeah.
It's not often done, but I have seen it work really well.
Go ahead.
It was a short. I mean, I've seen it work really well in, like, I guess they were, you know, what's the European scoring system? Why do I always forget the name of this?
Because I never played. C-Diplo.
Yeah, so C-Diplo games.
It's great.
It works really well.
Because you probably get Venice after 0-1.
Yeah.
And you probably get, you should probably give Belgium to England, but then you probably
You can flip him into something.
You can go and then take Spain and Portugal with your build from Venice, and that'll only take you like 3 years.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
And then the game's over in 1909.
Right.
And then you're at like 17.
Right.
It's great.
I mean, if you know your people.
Right. You gotta know your people.
It's actually, I think that one's actually best if the German goes home.
Yeah.
Early, which sometimes he does. And if you think he might do that, like if you've put something in his beverage or something.
I will say I've heard people do that.
Yeah, no. A lot of people who like the Western Front opening will put something in the Germans' beverage.
Right, and I saw that happen to somebody. I saw that happen to Brian Sheldon once.
Yeah, that's
right.
He
got so sick, and he was playing Germany.
He's throwing up and everything, man.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, poor guy. All right, we gotta move on.
Yeah, sorry.
Germany,
we gotta get into, like, alternative tactics.
Italy. Oh, I like this one. I like this one.
No, wait, no. We were.
Oh, we didn't do Germany.
Right.
I'm sorry.
You are. Well, I'm just going to put like the alphabet here, and you can just.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Right. The German one. That one's mine.
Yeah.
This one's called the German Wheel, and it's like one of those.
And this one, I actually haven't tried.
It's,
like, Nathan kind of had to clue me in on.
Right.
This
one. It's not often done.
Okay.
And it's. I'll just explain the movement. So it's. You take Munich and you go to Kiel.
Kiel,
and Fleet Kiel goes to Berlin, and Berlin drops down to Munich. So you're just sort of doing like a
Munich
turn.
To Kiel. Okay, I see.
You're doing a turn.
So then your fleet is then bordering the Gulf of Bothnia.
Exactly.
The Baltic Sea. I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you border it from Kiel, but you border it better from Berlin.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the.
You're really signaling that you are intending to push that out into the Baltic without actually doing it. Right. It's a saber rattling sort of a move to the Russian.
I could go to the Baltic anytime unless you bounce me, in which case you don't get sweet.
Right.
See, that's kind of, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of.
This also, you know, a lot of times what Germany will do is they'll just take that fleet and just, you know, sail it higgledy piggledy up into Denmark.
Sure.
And they don't really have a plan with it, and it just causes tension on the board.
Right. And a lot of times, like, if you are going to take Denmark, take it with an army, mm-hmm. you know, because first of all, I mean, that army, it can go north and it can go south.
Right. You have a lot of leverage.
Right.
Or you can convoy it from Denmark all the way to, say, Livonia.
That's true.
Or if you have an English friend, you could convoy it to Spain or Gascony or Yorkshire.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
I didn't even
think so many more options.
That's good. That's actually really strong. And then the other army, I mean, Munich to Kiel. Wait a minute. Is it
Berlin drops down to Munich.
Berlin to Munich.
Right. Wait,
that's
so
the
you,
part of it I don't understand.
Well, you want to be.
What's that for?
Well, you got to cover Munich in case the Italians or the French have done something crazy.
Well, sure,
like,
but they won't have done that. I mean, this is spring 01.
Right.
They could only border Munich, so why are they doing that?
Well, what would it be?
Just to let them know.
To let them know.
That even if they did go to Burgundy and also Tyrolia.
Right, and you have support in Kiel to cover it.
I've got an army there,
right,
and I could support it. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
And you're locked down. Mm-hmm. Your army in Kiel could go to Holland if it wants to. You've signaled strongly to Russia that you have the potential to go into the Baltic.
Yeah, and you don't have to go to any of those places. Like, if it seems too aggressive, you don't have to capture any of the neutrals.
Well, and a lot of people think you had to be aggressive with Germany. And really, I found, like, just...
I mean, I'm one of them. Like, I usually say, go for three, you know?
Yeah.
But
sometimes
this is, like, a really different...
You just have to take a step back, really tell the board the type of person you are.
Yeah.
And do the wheel.
Yeah.
It can be really successful.
Yeah. I can see trying it. I think
it depends on the players, right?
I think it'd be best, maybe, if England was 12 years old and drunk.
Yeah, I've seen that. I saw that happen one year.
Yeah,
that was weird.
But yeah, like maybe if England was 12 years old and drunk,
perfect time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's some variants.
Again, you got to know your person.
There's some variants. You could take Berlin and, you know, not drop it to Munich. You could, you know, go to Silesia or something, but I think it's a little aggressive.
Could you do Munich to Bohemia?
You could do Munich to Bohemia, and I
and
have
the
seen
the other
that.
Ones the same.
Yeah, and have Berlin drop down to Munich to follow up, and then pop over to Bohemia. And I've seen the Bohemia twist or the the spur or whatever they call it.
Sure,
I've seen that done. Jerry Fest did it one time.
Yeah,
and I was Austrian. It sucked.
Huh.
He totally kicked my butt. It was terrible.
He just took all your centers, huh?
Well, I don't know. Well,
stalemate.
Actually, it didn't matter. All I remember about the game is that he went to Bohemia. I was in Austria, and I lost.
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
Okay. That sounds about right.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was
he somehow finished the tournament 1 point ahead of
me. Of course he did.
Yeah, of course.
So now we're on the Italians that you're so excited about.
Oh, okay, the Italians. No, because I was actually pretty excited about this one. I really like this one.
Okay.
This is something I'm going to try, like, I never have, but again, I'm going to try this. Like, look out!
Don't advertise it the next time you play the tournament.
Right, maybe not the next time. Maybe the time after. I'm just saying. I really like this opening, and I was not at all familiar with it before. It's the Italian turtle.
Yeah,
I've also seen it called the Rubicon.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. What you want to do is you go. Let's see. It's Naples to Apulia. Okay, so you start out. You've got your fleet Naples. No, you've got your
fleet Naples.
Fleet Naples. Well, there's that variant. Oh, fleet Rome. That's the variant. I got confused.
Do you remember we're playing? This is a game called Diplomacy, Aaron.
I've been drinking.
So you just shift it over.
Fleet Naples to Apulia.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, I mean, most of the Italian openings have Naples to the Ionian. Like, occasionally Naples to the Tyrrhenian. So that's why, like, when I saw this, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Naples to Apulia. Okay. And then Rome to Naples.
Okay.
And then Venice to Rome.
Wow.
So the time when you would use this is if you really think that, say, like the Turk or the French player really wants to take Naples or Rome.
Right. Well, right. And who hasn't been there?
Sure. Yeah, right. I mean, how many? It happens all the time.
Right.
Like, you'll ask, like, the English guy, hey, does France want to take Naples and Rome? And he'll be like, yeah, that's what he told me. And you're just like, okay.
And a lot of people don't know this. Almost always, I mean, I always talk about it as France in 01.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, Naples, mine.
Naples and Rome. Dibs.
Yeah.
They'll say. And
I say it.
Ordinarily, like before, I didn't really know what to do when I was in that situation. I was just like, well, do I have to attack France? Do I have to? No. What you do.
Because you overcommit, right?
Again, right, exactly. Venice to Rome, Rome to Naples, Naples to Apulia. Now, who's getting any of those?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Those are yours. You've locked them down.
Completely locked down. It's like an 0-1 stalemate.
Yeah.
I'm serious. It's like, I mean, maybe I'm talking too much about this. Maybe I'm just, like, excited because I found an Italian opening I actually like, unlike all the ones I always do. But, wow.
Right.
I mean...
locked down.
Completely locked. Like, you've got, like, two supports on Naples. Mm-hmm. Well, really only one support on Rome, but, I mean, like, you could cut... if somebody was in the Ionian after Spring 01.
Yeah. Or if someone was in Venice or something, you could use it to tap it.
Well, I mean, you probably shouldn't do it if you think anybody's going to be in Venice.
True.
Yeah, but I mean, nobody ever goes to
Venice anyway.
Like, you could probably, like, wait.
Well, and you essentially, I mean, I can see this sending such a strong, like, fortress sort of message that no one's just even bother going to Venice, because why? Okay, I get one dot, so
it's
what?
It's like telling the board, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I am not.
I'm going to be here the whole game.
I'm not effing around here. Like, you're not getting Naples from home.
I'm here. I'm actually surprised I don't see this more often.
Yeah, you're right. You're right that the weak spot in it is if somebody takes Venice, the whole thing kind of falls apart.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, you have to really rely on that sort of intimidation.
You just want nobody to take Venice, and what you can do is you can kind of just go and ask everybody to not take Venice,
which is surprising that that works.
Well, I mean, except for, you know, France and Turkey or whoever it is that you think is targeting your centers, you can't ask them, but you could just ask everybody else. And if, yeah, I mean, that's where the diplomacy part comes in, right?
Like, exactly.
You have to talk people into stuff.
Well, and you know, and this pretty much goes without saying, but you don't, you know, none of these are foolproof openings.
No. Right? Like, we started at the beginning saying they're unusual openings for unusual circumstances.
But I like it. I hadn't heard it called the Rubicon, but I can kind of see it. You're, you're below the Rubicon.
Don't you be crossing that.
Yeah,
exactly.
I like it.
You can have all the Venice you want.
Exactly.
I mean, except I hope you don't, because that sort of screws up the whole opening.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, let's
Anyway, so Russia. Mm-hmm. Oh, Russia, this is my favorite, and I this one. This one, I don't know why I got the ones that you kind of see, but I really, really like this one.
Yeah, no, I actually saw this one at WAC.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a really, it's a really fun opening because it's so just sort of unexpected.
Yeah.
I have seen it called a lot of things, and a lot of times there's some cursing involved. I call it the Russian roulette.
Oh, yeah.
And so, really, and this one's interesting because it doesn't involve all the units. You really, Moscow and Warsaw, you can do whatever you want with
it
to make this work.
Holds are fine.
Holds are fine.
Yeah.
And actually ideal in this situation.
Self-bounce in Ukraine is fine.
Yeah. Or Livonia.
Yeah.
Or, you know, with each other. That's fine. You can move them pretty much anywhere. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
What matters is what you do with the fleets.
Right.
So, Fleet St. Petersburg, instead of ordering the same humdrum Gulf of Bosnia, you order to the Black Sea.
Oh, okay.
And Fleet Sevastopol, instead of the Black Sea, unexpectedly, Gulf of Bosnia.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so... It's brilliant what this does. I mean, you already see what... I mean,
No, I can picture it. I actually did this at my very first tournament ever.
Really?
I know, it's sort of an advanced opening for a beginning player, but I actually did that exact thing at my very first tournament ever.
And how did it work out?
No one saw it coming.
Did it? Yeah, and you were successful, right?
I don't remember the... It was a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I just remember the opening. I think people were pretty impressed.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm sure everybody commented on it.
Because people were like, wow, you know the Russian roulette? Like, this new kid. Like, who the heck is this guy? I was probably, I don't know, 23 years old or something like that.
Cool.
Yeah. So, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So, what you've essentially done here is, not only have you shown everyone that you have sort of an advanced understanding of the map.
Right.
But you've also really not made too many enemies, because classically, as we talked about the show a lot, you know, opening the Black Sea, that really creates a lot of tension between Russia and Turkey. The Gulf of Bosnia thing, you start this war with Germany where you're bouncing
unless
Sweden.
He also did the wheel and the Russian roulette work really well together.
Yeah,
they do. They do. You can maybe negotiate that in advance.
Yeah,
but
they work really well together.
So anyway, go ahead.
So now you've kind of signaled to people that are kind of in the know, which is what probably happened to you in your game.
Yeah.
They know, okay, this guy knows what he's doing.
Right.
And you've done it in a non-threatening way.
Right.
So the people that kind of don't, you know, there's always newbies out there. The newbies aren't going to recognize this. The advanced players are, and you're going to be able to really signal to people without having to say it out loud. And we've all been in these situations where you're sort of doing these double speak things with a newbie there.
Exactly.
So that's what I mean. And I've never done it.
Yeah. Well,
I'm excited to do it.
I wish I could remember the game better. I just remember like the looks on people's faces when those orders were read, and they were pretty stunned.
Yeah.
You know, it was like the surprise factor was huge, especially from a new player like me. I mean, they really did not see. I mean, St. Pete to the Black Sea.
Yeah. You don't see that. You never see that. It's amazing.
Sebastopol to Gulf Bakhtin. Bam.
Exactly. And so then you're just ready in the fall to spring into the Black Sea.
Once again, it's one of Gulf those kind of more passive.
Yeah. More, it's passive and yet powerful.
Yeah.
Which I think, so I recommend people try this one out because it really, not a lot of risk, a lot of benefit.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll wrap us up with Turkey, unless you...
Let's see. What do we have? Oh, the Sultan's Swing.
Yeah, the Sultan's Swing.
The Sultan's Swing, yeah.
Which is a little reminiscent of, what is it, Dire Straits?
Yeah. I think that's whoever came up with this opening's joke.
Okay.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't think it's very funny, but...
It's because you're a huge Dire Straits fan.
Yeah, I actually really do like...
I know you do. Dire Straits. I know you do.
I someday hope to touch Mark Knopfler.
Okay, so one other person got that reference.
Okay. The Sultan's Swing. Let's move on.
Okay, sorry.
Smyrna to... I've seen this two ways. So Smyrna to Armenia, Constantinople to Smyrna, Ankara to Khan.
Right. And that's the one I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
Is there another one?
Well, let's talk about the first one first. So you go Smyrna to Armenia, which is, you know, like a little bit aggressive to Russia. But at the same time, you're going Ankh to Khan.
Yeah.
So no Black Sea.
Right.
Right. And then Khan to Smyrna, which I think is the really interesting part of that.
That's, you're sort of like parting the waters there, like sort of like spreading out in a really interesting way.
Mm-hmm. And if Russia does go to the Black Sea, you're totally defended.
Right.
It's no problem. You know, and you're even in Armenia. But you're kind of counting on him not doing that, and you're also counting on not getting Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Which I think is important to this. Like, normally you'd go Kondabol.
Yeah.
You're not doing that this time because you... Well, why?
What do you mean, why? It's...
I'm not sure. Well, maybe I don't get it. I don't...
What do you... So, if by not taking Bulgaria...
Yeah.
This is my standard joke about whenever I sit down... I would say 3 out of 4 rounds. I sit down. I was like, well, at least there's one move on the board we always get.
Yeah, everybody makes that joke, blah, blah, blah.
You, by not doing that, Turkey is completely upset a fundamental law of the diplomacy board. And you've positioned your fleet on the isthmus, whatever it is, on the Bosphorus, so you can go either to the Aegean or the Black Sea. You not only up sort of...
Or Bulgaria in the fall.
Or Bulgaria, either coast.
Right.
Right.
Right, right. You can pick your coast, which is actually pretty powerful. Yeah, no, I see that now. Yeah.
So you've... So it's more, I think, about upsetting that balance and having that extreme flexibility in the fall.
Yeah, so this is probably best for a time that you think Austria isn't going to Serbia, right?
Right.
Okay. And Russia isn't going to Romania or the Black Sea.
Right. You're really looking for Russia to hold here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably best. Or I guess he could bounce you in Armenia. You could even prearrange that.
Yeah, you could bounce you in Armenia.
Right.
That
way it looks like a little bit of hostility. But maybe you guys have something cooking up.
Well, and that's it's a great precursor to the RT. It's a great setup because you have that little fake war in Armenia. And then you're just poised on... You know, to go to the Aegean.
Again, though, it has the same issue as the Yorkshire pudding, which is that you're probably not building.
you're probably not building.
Okay.
Well, but if you've played your card right and Russia's not moved and Austria hasn't moved and Italy hasn't moved, you really, I mean, significantly, you're going to be in a really good position to just sail into Bulgaria.
That's true. Yeah. And nowhere else, I guess that's the, well, I guess you could take Sev.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Absolutely. If things went unexpectedly and he sailed to Romania, you'd be able to wander into. You'd be wandering Sev.
So and he also went north. Maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. That's it's just interesting. The variant I saw is Smyrna goes to actually Syria instead of Armenia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if there's a Sultan swing Syrian. I don't know. Name for it would
They always
be,
have those weird names for the hybrids.
But,
I never know.
But I've seen that. Says Smyrna to Syria.
You've seen it. Did you?
It's just basically the same thing. Only you're telling Russia, look, I have no designs on Sevastopol whatsoever. I just want my army kind of to be elsewhere. Like it can just kind of hang out there until my country is a little more developed. And
sure, sort of
I
like when you
eventually
go to
convoy it. It's almost like a reverse Lepanto.
Yeah,
like you go to Syria and wait.
Yeah, yeah.
And eventually we'll build some fleets.
Or like we'll sometimes do that in France. Just sit in Gascony.
Right.
You know, just hang out.
I like to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Spain, just sort of like see what happens.
Could come, but Spain South Coast can't.
Yeah.
So
it's
that's okay in Gascony.
That's good.
All right.
So those are some interesting, maybe different openings.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't figured it out by now, I'm really an advocate of trying new things.
Yeah, definitely.
Strongly suggest you guys try to one of these next tournament, next game, you know, just try it out.
Once you've rolled normal skills and put guard on a dwarf, that's what you've done.
Hot off the press.
Hot off the press?
Yeah, there's people don't use a press anymore.
Drop it like it's hot.
Oh, so if we just dropped it like it was hot?
If we just dropped it like it was hot, you can do better than that. Drop it like it's hot. Off the press.
I'm not saying that.
All right, cool. Yes, it's hot off the press, finally.
Finally, we're email!
Getting to some of those emails that have been building up around here.
Oh my god, we have so many.
Oof. Let's see. We want to start with one we got from Jim O'Kelly.
Yeah, Jim O'Kelly, friend of the show.
Our old buddy Jim, we haven't heard from him for a while, so it was good to hear from him. Let's see, he writes, gentlemen, love the show. In fact, I can't remember what the hobby was like before Diplomacy Cast. Of course, at my age, I can't remember anything. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I actually feel it. I mean, I'm not as old as... I mean, most people aren't as old as Jim. But anyway, I like that he, you know, complimented us. That's nice.
Yeah, definitely. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He writes, anyway, I have a great topic for your show.
Oh, perfect.
I think we can all agree that Diplomacy is a perfect game.
Okay.
Nearly perfect game, he writes. The only thing missing is dice. Is it time to tweak the rules? I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Wow, that is really... that's a bold suggestion.
I agree with him, honestly.
Really? I really hate the idea.
Well, I mean, at least every once in a while, like maybe like every other WorldCon.
Oh, okay.
We could do, you know, not like every time, but like every other time, what if every single time you move somewhere, you just roll a d6?
Really?
Yeah.
And you would determine whether or not you supported, you held, what?
Yeah, well, support would, like, add plus one.
Oh, okay.
And, like, whoever rolls the higher would, you know.
Would win. So instead of just having a support, you'd have a support plus d6.
Yeah, because it simulates sort of, like, heroes in battle.
Okay.
A little better, which is something I've always thought was missing from the game.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe this is a whole other show concept.
No, I think he's right. I mean, we could spend an hour, really, because I was just thinking, just as you said that.
Yeah.
What if instead of a build phase, based on your supply centers, you rolled a dice?
To see how many you build?
Right.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And, you know, maybe two dice.
Multiplied again by, like, how many you own.
Right, and then maybe the dice determined how many, and another dice determined whether that was a fleet or an army or, like, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that'd be cool.
Because that'd be kind of fun.
And, although, would you have, like, if you build... Like, if you roll, like, Fleet Vienna, do you get to re-roll, or you just, like, not get to build? I don't know. It's something we'd have to work out, I guess.
Good suggestion, Jim. I really like it.
Thanks for the email, Jim.
I mean, actually, I kind of hate it. But I'm willing to talk about it.
Well, yeah.
All right, what else we got? What's in the old mailbag?
Let's see here. The next one comes from... Oh, well, he didn't put his name.
Okay. And I don't recognize that email address either.
Yeah, it says, Dear Diplomacy Cast, hi, long-time listener, first-time writer. Okay. Big fan, corny. Love what you're doing. Please keep it up. See, again, we could just stop there. This is a great email.
I like how we only read the ones that are nice.
Yeah. I was just writing to inquire when you are going to have that dashing gentleman Chris Martin back on the show.
Oh, really?
It seems like it's been forever since the dulcet tones of his manly voice sent ripples through my heart. Is it true that he makes strong men cry with his cutting wit? Have you ever been stabbed by him? Was it awesome? Wishing you both the best. And it's signed a fan.
Right. And I don't, like I said, I don't know who.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's just that email address.
It's
dance with me.
Dance something. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. He probably doesn't want us to read his email on it, but yes, I have been stabbed by Chris
Martin. Who hasn't been stabbed by Chris Martin?
I know, right? It
the
was
man's a whore.
Awesome. It was pretty awesome.
When it comes
awesome.
To stabbing.
Yeah. He's, I don't know. It's pretty good to get stabbed by Chris Martin.
Well, he does make it pleasant, doesn't he?
Yeah.
There is a smile on his face every damn time.
Yeah. And that the dulcet tones, just like he says in the email, dulcet tones of his manly voice, that does help.
Well, I will say, a fan, we will have Chris Martin back on the show in an episode coming up.
Yeah.
Probably not the one about dice that O'Kelly wants us to read, to do, but there are a couple of show ideas in the hopper that probably Chris would be perfect for.
Yeah.
So we'll probably reach out to him pretty soon.
Oh, the next one comes from David Hood.
David Hood,
our buddy. He's into the show now all of a sudden.
I know, he was really reluctant. He was such a sport the last time we did this.
Too. Here, you want to read him? Just
Good. Eric and Nathan, really enjoyed the podcasts. I just wanted to give my thoughts about the postal hobby. Interesting. It seems that you guys sometimes laugh about it, given that there's email now.
Yeah, well.
Well, we do kind of a little.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, to be fair, I've never done it, so maybe I'm missing something out. Let's
read the rest.
All right, we'll see. But what I think you're failing to appreciate is just how much slower it is than a regular diplomacy.
That's true. Yeah.
Most of the history of the hobby was postal, and the fact is, we could only play a game every 2 years.
Yeah.
This enhanced the quality of the game. Imagine the intrigue when a message was just sent and didn't arrive due to insufficient postage.
Oh, yeah.
It could change the whole course of the game. Today's game is not the same game, and email has taken the game back to the 1940s, before the game was created. Think about it. Love the show, David Hood.
Huh.
That's like food for thought right there.
I don't know.
I feel like he's really challenging
us. He lost me at the end there. I gotta be honest. Like, it took it back to, I mean,
the
was
40s?
There email in the...
There wasn't email in the 40s. No, what he's saying What he's saying is, today's email is making it a game before it was a game.
No, I'm still not following. I'm sorry.
He's saying it's ruining the game.
Okay.
But I mean, I think it's... Anyway, whatever. David, thanks for the email. We'll consider it. Maybe we should get a postal guy on to talk about what that was like.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Are there any alive?
I'm not sure.
We could check. All right.
Well, especially with all the postal changes. I mean, like, I've heard the post office is going to go, like, not
anymore. Yeah, no Saturdays.
Yeah, I heard that was on the table.
Oh, I guess maybe we could, like, talk about
it's
how that's going to affect the hobby.
Yeah, it's timely.
Yeah, that's
okay.
True.
Thanks, David.
Another one from Jim O'Kelly.
Really?
How about that? Gentlemen, am I the only one who didn't know that Chris Martin... I'm going to read this again. Am I the only one who didn't know that our Chris Martin isn't the guy that's married to Gwyneth Paltrow? I feel like an idiot.
This seems like a tweet.
I don't mean... I almost don't want to embarrass him, but yeah, no, you're the only one that...
Yeah,
you
really
thought that.
Because Chris Martin, he's the guy who fronts Coldplay, right?
No. Well, is that...
Gwyneth Paltrow's Chris Martin.
Do you think that's what he meant?
Coldplay?
Sorry, I was a little slow on that, but yes, that's probably what he meant.
Yeah, because the guy's name is Chris Martin.
No, it's... I'm sure a lot of people get confused by this, but, I've met Chris Martin's wife. She's a very nice lady.
Yeah, she's lovely.
She's not Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's not.
Thanks for the email, Jim.
Yeah, thanks, Jim.
Let's see. Moving on.
I like the easy ones where there's just a question and we can answer it.
Yeah.
I feel like that happens rarely.
Yeah. Okay, this one comes, from an old friend.
Yes, this is excellent. I love this email.
Eric and Nathan, I can't believe it's already been a year since I hosted your show. I have been so busy since we last spoke. Thank you again for the opportunity. It has opened many doors in my career. Next week, I will be guest hosting a podcast entirely about the fine art of making knives out of cats.
Ooh.
See you at Compton Con next year, I hope. Sean Connery.
Oh, I haven't heard from him. Honestly thought he dropped off the face of the planet because we were talking and we were talking, and then he was just like, woo, gone. And he had some great stories, too. And he was at... He popped into Compton Con. We didn't even mention that in our early part of the show.
Yeah. Well, it literally drove a speedboat in. And then, which was weird.
I totally
We were nowhere near the ocean. And he drove a speedboat in and then right back out again.
Oh, my God. It was really good. That guy is such a card.
He is great.
He is hilarious. Yeah. Again, guys, come to tournaments. Mm. You just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
good
true.
Stuff.
It's true. Our next email comes from Jim O'Kelly.
Really? How many did Jim... I didn't even look at all these.
It reads, gentlemen, boxers or briefs? Jim. Boxers.
Boxer briefs.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Best of both worlds, Eric.
Okay.
But why choose when you don't have to?
All right.
I put that back to you, Jim.
You just keep talking while I'm trying to pull up this next email here. Okay, this one comes from, let's see, it's LinuxLover69.
I don't like Linux.
Well, that's his name. He didn't actually leave his real name, so LinuxLover69. Dear Eric and Nathan, in episode 19 in the 46th minute, you discussed why you would ever use any opening other than the hedgehog. You are categorically wrong, as I have shown in my statistical analysis of over 200,000 games played on Let's Play Web DiplomacyJudge.com.
Okay. I've never even heard of that site.
Well, there's apparently been 200,000 games played there. In 194,260 of these, the hedgehog opening was used, and Austria soloed over 4,000 times. In the remaining openings, presumably misorders, he writes.
Wow.
Austria only soloed about 100 times. 4,000 is much higher than 100. Therefore, the hedgehog is the best opening.
I have nothing to say to this. Seriously. Like, what?
Thanks for the email.
Yeah, thanks for the email.
LinuxLover69.
Did he play all of these? The hedgehog is not a good opening. I've never seen it
work.
That's
what they do online, and there's a lot of statistical evidence that it's by far the...
I am dubious.
Okay. Our next email comes from Jim O'Kelly.
How many emails did this man write? When's the last time we checked our email?
It's been a while.
He sounds sad and lonely.
Gentlemen, if we were the gang from ABC Family's Pretty Little Liars, I'd be Spencer, Eric would be Emily, and Nathan would be Hannah. But who'd be Aria? And what about A? Love to hear your thoughts. Jim.
Do you have any idea what he's talking about?
Oh, yeah. I've thought about this a lot.
What?
Aria would be Andy Bartoloni.
Okay.
And A would be Sean Connery. Don't you think?
Sure. Sure. I don't really watch TV.
Really watch TV.
I don't even watch TV.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Anyway, thanks for the email, Jim. We got to move on. Let's see.
I wish I had something to say about that. If you'd ask me something from the 70s, like the Rockford Files or...
The Rockford Files.
You know.
Right?
Yeah. No? Nothing?
No, nothing whatsoever. Our next
Barney
email
Miller?
Comes
what about
from...
Barney Miller? We could do Barney Miller.
That's the second time today Barney Miller has come up in conversation. I'm not even joking. That's kind of weird. Our next email comes from Jim O'Kelly. Gentlemen,
this is getting ridiculous. We are not reading any more emails from Jim O'Kelly because the last one sucked.
Fine. My son Kevin topped his first board in only his second game.
Nice.
He's 12.
Okay.
Should I be worried about him? How old were you when you topped your first board?
Well, no, I don't think you should be worried. I think it's excellent that he's playing in game 12. I'm unsurprised that he's beating you, but I think the first time I topped a board, I was probably 22. So he's got a.
I was seven.
He got a decade.
I was seven, but I'm kind of a prodigy. So
you were kind of a prodigy. I'll give you that.
I was a bit of a freak.
Was anyone else playing?
My mom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, just my mom.
So you did that whole two-player variant.
No, I get to be the other six countries.
You must. Okay. Well, that is an accomplishment. No, that is an accomplishment, and you should be proud of it. I was Jim, I hope there's no more emails from you. Congratulations to your boy. I think that's awesome. And, yeah, don't worry about it. It's going to be great. Really?
Yeah, our last email comes from Andy Marshall.
Andy Marshall. And, you know, I want to caveat this one because we've read it. And
it's kind of long.
It's kind of long.
It makes a lot of really good points, though. I think it's worth taking a little bit of time with it.
I think it's also important to note that it's, you know, for an adult audience, because that's, if anybody knows Andy Marshall, he's an adult. Just, he is an adult audience.
Stop the podcast now if you don't want to hear the email from Andy Marshall.
Yeah, but I think that's fair.
He makes a lot of good points, and I really think we need to spend some
time. Well, and some of them we're going to talk about afterward, because I'm excited about at least one of his ideas.
He writes, "Yo, fuck sticks. So, you've got nearly 2 years of episodes of your badly engineered little enterprise in the can, and yet the words Andy Marshall have not been spoken on air. What the fuck is wrong with you two? I've only been retired from the fucking hobby for 7 fucking years. I'm still relevant, bitches. At least that's what I told your woman, Mead. I looked right in her eyes and said, you know, baby, your boyfriend, who is also my bitch, thinks this right here is relevant. Oh, yes, he does." Unquote. And she agreed, even though I was pointedly gesturing at my crotch in the middle of a fancy Saturday night dinner in one of the most posh restaurants in the world. Didn't she? Didn't she? Yeah, that's what I thought, bitch.
Okay. I miss Andy.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's good to hear from him. He goes on, "Have you forgotten the numerous times I pimped both of your furry asses out that on the airport road?" Oh, furry. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. "Is the pain of Andy Marshall owning every one of your dots so unbearable that you've repressed the memory of the most powerful man in the industry? Who had you on your knees 16 minutes after you met him, Mead? Who got you into law school, Barnes?" Let me just say this, you tattooed depressive barista freaks. Barista freaks.
Thank you.
I made you, and I can break you, and your crappy Pacific rain dump of a town, and your yappy little podcast. Try me. Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
"So, here's the deal, bitches. I take over editorial and creative control. I pull the strings that open your toothsome mouths, and we rename the whole thing MarshallCast.XXX. Your whole direction is just bizarre and wrong." All right. So, actually, more on that part in a minute.
That is not a bad idea.
Well, we've been talking a little bit about that, but let me read the rest of the email first, and we'll see. "Look, just last month, you spent a whole hour..." Wait a minute. Who the fuck yaks on air about dots for a full fucking hour? Actually, Andy, it's more like two hours.
Yeah, an hour and a half at least.
"Who yaps about anything for a full fucking hour? Two self-absorbed layabouts from a city that hasn't been in the direct path of the sun in over 400 years. That's who. Anyway, a whole hour on Alan Kalhamer. What the fuck? What does he have to do with diplomacy? That poor old bastard never had a clue what he'd done rot, and you two helped make it so with your huggy communist rainforest dot sharing. Blood, guts, the glory of America. That's what Kalhamer wanted. People like you make the hobby unrecognizable to that man. How dare you sully his memory with a 7-way on an ethanol-fueled bus? Hateful coffee-drowned bastards. Mr. Kalhamer's estate should sue you for attempting to profit from his holy name." No.
I miss Andy. Right. Wow, I think there's a lot of good points here.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I will concede that you've done a few good shticks. Poxy, he means Melissa Nicholson, who we interviewed a while ago. Poxy is still the second hottest chick in the hobby, even years after she zombified herself by moving back down where the drains swirl the wrong way. Actually, she may be the hottest chick in the hobby now, since the previous title holder spends her time mothering my children. Oh, yeah, that's children. Sure, sure. Talking about Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa Foster, yeah. Well, I don't
Lisa
know.
Lisa Marshall.
Marshall now, yeah.
"David Hood is a good guy with no bad qualities whatsoever, even if I am only saying that because he knows where I live and isn't afraid to use that knowledge. And you can never go wrong talking to Eddie, his own self. Eddie's the only guy in our circle who is as pissed off as I am by those kids on my lawn." That's a good point.
That's actually entirely true. Yeah.
"And those kids? Barnes and me." Yeah.
Okay, so now he's like, I think he's starting to get a little personal.
There's a little more.
Oh, okay.
"But 3 good interviews isn't enough to offset the tortures you've otherwise inflicted. Chris Martin, what made you dopes think that the flamenco goes over well on radio?" Okay, well. "Jim O'Kelly, the man who made Andy Marshall retire from diplomacy? Matt Shields? No, wait, I don't have anything bad to say about Matt other than he talks to you people. And he's from a state where the incalculably evil Doug Moore chose to make his new home when the law caught up to him back here. I thought every state had an extradition treaty with every other one, but leave it to Doug to find the little-known Maryland-Oregon loophole after the cops clued to his using pit kissers as a front for gambling, loan sharking, and multiple violations of the Mann Act.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
But. No, it's a... You don't want to know.
Okay. But I insult too many others whose only real crime was guesting on your fraudulent podcast that never mentions me. I should be keeping tightly on topic, specifically the topic of how much I don't like you two yahoos and your bizarre, interminable rap. I can't escape it. It's everywhere. It's almost like Squeaky. That's what he calls his wife, yeah. Squeaky. It's almost like Squeaky set my homepage to your freaky little website or something. Oh, wait, never mind. Carry on. Andy Marshall, the artist formerly known as Satan.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot there.
There's a lot there. And he brought up some good points, because I haven't mentioned Andy Marshall ever.
No. I don't know why we haven't. I can think of a lot of reasons why we haven't.
Actually, I mean, he's hateful.
Now that I say it. Yeah, he's a bad little man.
Yeah.
And
he makes people cry.
He does.
Yeah.
He does. And he likes bacon.
He does like bacon.
And sometimes his chest explodes from eating too much of it.
That was only the one.
Which is fine.
Just the one time.
Right. Yeah.
But I think he brought up some good points.
But he's apparently still alive, which is
shocking to me.
I gotta tell you, news to me.
Yeah.
But alive enough to write this email, maybe from one of those like little, you know, like Stephen Hawking wheelchair thing.
Like an iron lung?
Yeah, well, yeah, but like with the robotic voice and the computerized.
Oh, with the speak and say.
He probably had to spend like 5 weeks writing this, is what I'm thinking.
Well, and actually that's really a good point. Yeah. We have to admire like the courage that probably took to put together.
Definitely.
But I want to focus on...
Can you imagine you're saying like flamenco and it's like, did you mean flamingo? And you're like, I got to go to bed. Like,
yeah. It's exhausting.
I want to
focus up on the shining singular gem of positive aspect, because mostly, I mean, I don't know if you notice, it's mostly him yelling
pretty negative,
at us.
Pretty
he's mostly
email,
just yelling at us and calling us.
You know, we accept all kinds. We don't just read the guys that like
exactly.
us.
Exactly. See, that was first of all, I wanted to make sure that we don't read everything, but we read a lot of things.
Yeah.
And we'll read the negative stuff too. So if you have an opinion, throw that in.
Definitely.
But I want to focus on one thing that he did suggest was taking over creative control.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is something kind of interesting.
We've kind of been talking about for a long time.
Getting
like,
a creative director.
We don't really want to, you know, like have any, you know, we kind of just want somebody to tell us what to do.
Yeah.
And like,
because
well,
making
because
this stuff up is, you know,
it's really hard.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah, it's really hard.
We got to draft stuff and come up with ideas. And
yeah. Yeah. So we've been talking about it, and we decided we're actually just going to go ahead and go with it. We haven't even told Andy yet. He's probably hearing it
he's
on
probably
the
hearing
air
first time.
He's listening, which he will be like probably later today.
Yeah.
Because he's super excited about our show.
Yeah. Please do not let it sound like he's like, oh, I hate your show. He listens to it the moment it comes
texting
up.
Texting me constantly. How come the new EP isn't up?
Yeah.
EP. I mean, I guess he needs to do that because of his disabilities.
Yeah, whatever.
Everything. But
think that's short for epilepsy or anything like that, right?
Oh, God. I better ask him. Yeah, I probably shouldn't make fun of him
okay,
for being epileptic.
You know,
just his heart, that's all.
Yeah, no, that's... So, yeah, no offense taken. We didn't think about that. Everybody here in the West Coast, we kind of abbreve everything.
Yeah, we do.
So
we do. Anyway, so effective next week, we're going to be known as MarshallCast.xxx.
Yeah.
You can find us at our new website, MarshallCast.xxx.
Yep. We'll have a redirect from Diplomacy Cast.
We don't really know what the show's going to be about because
but
it's totally
he's gonna
up
tell
to
us.
Andy.
And he's just going to tell us.
It might be about diplomacy, I think... Probably more likely it's going to be about DC United Soccer.
Okay.
If that's something that you guys like, you can tune in and hear all the sort of movings and shakings. You know, the new season of MLS Soccer just started, and I know a lot of people who listen to the show are into that.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time talking about that on the side, so
we
can definitely shift gears.
We'll probably talk a little bit about that. We'll talk some about bacon.
Yep.
What else? I don't know.
I don't know. It's whatever
Andy wants
Andy
us
wants,
to do. Yeah.
We'll be putting it out there. So really expect the unexpected, I guess, is the message.
Yeah.
And, you know, thanks a lot to everybody who's written in, especially Andy.
Yeah. We're pretty much out of time. We read a lot of emails there. I mean, mostly from Jim, but what are you going to do?
I gotta be honest with you guys. There's more emails from Jim O'Kelly. I'm just not reading any more of them. We're sick of them.
We'll be back. We're working on a topic for next week. Whatever Andy wants, pretty much.
Whatever Andy wants.
Okay.
See you next week or month.
You have been listening to Diplomacy Cast. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.
Wasn't it fun?
It was great.
I had a great time.
Yeah, definitely. Ethan Barnes, I'm Eric Mead. Signing off. We'll talk to you next time.
Eric Mead. I am a giant 13-foot-tall chocolate banana.
I was just trying to sound like a radio guy. That's what I get. Bye, everyone.